Hey guys, I'm Ryan Williams.
And I'm Jake Kern.
And this is 14,605.
And counting.
And we are back
From a galaxy far, far away, folks.
We are here for episode 95 of 14,605 and counting.
We are rocking and rolling.
95. I love the number 95 because it reminds me of the 95 Cleveland Indians.
Oh,
as they were back in the day before
that's
they
a
changed
good
them.
That's a great memory.
I mean, that was, you know, freaking Kenny Lofton, Carlos Baagra, Albert
Jim Thome,
Tommy, Eddie Murray. That lineup was stacked.
The Bulldog. They had it all.
Only to fall short to the Atlanta Braves.
And then 2 years later, do the same to the Florida Marlins.
See, the 95 Cleveland Indians were my introduction to Cleveland sports fandom / heartbreak.
Yeah. Wow.
I cried when we lost in 95. I cried. I was
what,
9 years
loss
old.
Too. I mean, geez, to be how old? You said nine. You said nine.
Nine. Yeah, that was 95. Yep, I was
11.
Nine. Yeah,
I was 11 then, and that was that was heartbreaking, especially to lose just like that in the seventh game. Come down to that.
And then when we lost in 97 to Florida Marlins, then I was used to it. then I'm like, all right, this is the way it's gonna go as a Cleveland sports fan. So,
my Browns woes didn't start until the team came back, and
yeah,
was like
I wasn't
99.
Really, I went to one game before they moved to Baltimore. I wasn't really in the big too big in the football when they were here the first time because I was really young.
Yeah, I remember my dad taking me. Let me see. We went with there was a guy who. He coached my flag football team, and his son, who actually went on to play at St. Ignatius and be a he was a quarterback. Yeah, I remember it was my dad, me, and my brother, and this guy and his son, and we brought a cooler in. It had drinks in it. It had food in it. We sat up, and it was like the nosebleeds. But yeah, I remember going to a game back when I was a kid. I kind of had to have been. I had to have been like 9 or 10.
My only memory of Cleveland Municipal Stadium, that Browns game, was the freaking troughs in the bathroom.
You know, that's when you know things are going right.
That's the only thing I remember, bro. Not to get too far off track. We'll get to Ahsoka in a second, but this is a good story. So I had to go to the bathroom, bro, and I'm 9 years old. So, like, at that point in my life, I haven't really been in too many public bathrooms that I can remember anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So I go in the bathroom. It's crowded. I forget who was with me. It might have been one of my uncles that took me in there. But, like, it was crowded, and I see these troughs. I'm like, what the heck is that? Like, am I supposed to, like, pee in that? Like I've only seen a urinal in like my elementary school.
Mm-hmm.
So like I'm like, what is this? Like, what am I supposed to do here?
Now at 9 year olds, what the bleep was probably what the heck or HE double hockey sticks, right?
Yeah, I said, you know, what the heck, right? Yeah.
Now, see, I'd already gotten in trouble by second grade for throwing an F bomb on the playground.
Oh yeah, no,
that's a whole nother story.
And then one of my probably the state of Browns fandom here in Cleveland, ladies and gentlemen. But like it was so crowded. This dude, I remember vividly. He pulled his junk out and was pissing in the sink where you wash your hands. If that's not Cleveland Browns. In a nutshell, folks, there you go. That was literally my first memory as a Cleveland Browns fan. Some dude pissing in the sink, the bathroom.
Now, not to get too far, like you said, not to get too far off topic, but I do have a very similar memory of my first experience at the Cleveland Browns game with the trough. And again, when I went to my high school football.
If you don't know what a trough is, ladies and gentlemen, look it up.
Basically picture what like you would think like pigs or cows
to eat in. Yeah.
And everybody lines up and you just unload. You just pee. And I remember being in grade school and we got to go to the high school football game. Like you got to line up, the seniors ran past and like gave you high fives and everything. And you got to go watch the football game. You got to be like on the sideline and everything. It was pretty cool. But I remember having to go to the bathroom at that age and going in there and they had a trough. And I was like, what is this? What am I supposed to do? I don't know what to do here.
Yeah. Bro, the trough. How do you put that in a professional stadium?
I mean, that was just the thing.
Was that commonplace with old stadiums? Like, that was like really the only old stadium I've ever been in.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with you because, let me see. I went to the Coliseum, Richfield.
I went there for like, you know, Sesame Street when I was little, but I don't really remember too much of it or the bathrooms or anything.
I went to Cavs Bulls when Jordan was with the Bulls. My dad took me to a game.
Okay.
And we sat behind one of the hoops.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and then there were two guys. They had to have been like young teens, maybe mid-teens, sitting behind us. And, you know, you would say, let's go defense. Well, these kids were going, let's go offense. And I was like looking at them and looking at my dad, and I was like, Dad, they're not cheering for the Cavs. And he's like, yeah, I know. but my little brain could not comprehend that somebody would actively cheer for another team.
Yeah.
In the home. Like they didn't look like they were from out of town. They were just Bulls. They were Jordan fanboys, let's put it that way.
Right, which at that time, that was understandable because he was the man.
Yeah.
So.
But I remember being extremely confused by that.
Yeah. All right. Well, yeah. Let's get on to our main event of the evening. So we are recording this on the evening of Wednesday, September 6th. And we did not cover episode 3 last week. So we're going to cover it this week a little bit, and we are going to get into episode 4. So we got a two-parter.
Double feature.
Double feature tonight.
And as you know how things go with us, you know, things happen. So here we are.
Yeah. So let's roll episode 3. Episode 3, you know, Time to Fly.
Yes. Now, I'm going to say that I don't get to watch these immediately, and we've talked about this.
Yes.
Now that they're showing them Tuesday evenings,
yeah,
I'm at softball when that's going on. So it comes out what, like 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock?
Nine.
So like especially last night, 10:45, I get a message from you like the ending of that episode, and I'm like, dude, I'm on the softball field.
It's terrible.
But I got to watch it today at lunch at work. And last week's, so we're talking about episode 3.
Mm-hmm.
I hadn't seen it yet. And I popped on Facebook and I saw a friend. I'm just going to say a friend. I'm going to leave it at that. Don't want to call anybody out or do anything bad. And this friend said, I've seen enough. I can't watch past episode 3. And I was like, no. What happened? Like, I haven't seen it yet.
I texted you after you watched episode 3.
Yeah.
But yeah, go on, go on.
I mean, that was it. I was just like, why? Well, I guess I better watch this real quick. You know, like I need to figure this out. And I don't know. I almost want to have a conversation with this person. I mean, I'd consider them a friend, and not even to be confrontational, like just to be like, hey, what did you not like? And you know, I would imagine like, why does it matter? It's my opinion. I'm like, no, I'm just curious. I want to know, did I miss something? Was there something from previous shows or from Rebels or something that I missed that
yes
struck you to not like? Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know if it's on the level of just
now something. Did this person answer?
I haven't talked to them. I haven't seen them yet. I don't know if it's something small that just was like, okay, I've had enough of this crap, or if it's something on the scale of like Leia Force flying or something. I don't know. I don't know how. You know, I of course have to bring that up all the time, but I don't know the scale of it for this person. So well,
speaking of that, like that's what reminded me of you,
dude.
When late in the episode, Ahsoka did her little space Jedi routine.
Now we're gonna pull up that chat real quick. I'm gonna back it up here real quick. We're gonna back it up as I back through the.
I giggled.
The Hera pictures and
I giggled.
Heyo, let's see. Did I go too far? Let's see. Did you watch it yet? I giggled and thought of you when Ahsoka went out into space. And I said, oh shit. When she said she was going out there, I was like, this bee better not force fly.
Oh, I totally thought she was gonna force fly.
That was fine when she put on the space suit.
I was gonna, yes. I was like, we are gonna have ourselves an episode if she force flies.
You would have gotten an immediate you would have gotten a straight up phone call. I would not even bother texting. I would have called you until you answered. You'd be like, dude, I'm in the middle of teaching. I'm like, put me on speakerphone. We need to talk. Like, all right, class, keep doing your. We're gonna do a 5 minute.
We're gonna push. Do a 5 minute push. 3, 2, 1, go.
All right, Jake, what you got? And I'm like, what the bleep 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 bleep? And everyone's like looking at you, and you're like, keep running. But I appreciated that she was out there. She did what she did, and then she was like a little help. And Sabine had to like shift the ship to catch her feet again. And I was like, okay, look, she's full on Jedi, like crazy Jedi shit. She couldn't force push herself back onto that ship. Thank you, Dave Filoni and company. That's exactly what should have happened. Not this. Flying through space crap.
So you're just gonna just crap on Last Jedi any chance you get, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sure, you know what, I wonder if when that scene was playing out, like if when they were screening it with like executive producers and stuff, if that happened and Dave Filoni looked over his shoulder and went, hey Kathleen, that's accurate. Not your BS. This is accurate. You know, like.
Yeah, but I giggled at that part.
Oh, so, when I saw her go out there, I was like, you better. No.
Oh, I just knew they were going to go there. I'm like, yes, this is going to be great for the podcast. That's literally what I thought. I'm like, this is going to be great for the podcast. I can't wait.
Yeah.
And then it wasn't that. And I was a little disappointed. But, I mean, it actually made sense.
Yes.
So
they made it make sense.
Yeah.
She, like, did a little flip and, you know, was doing her thing. She cut a wing. It was, like, cool. Okay, she got her lightsaber through a wing of a ship. Nice. And, yeah, it was fine.
Yeah. Other than that, I mean, this episode, Time to Fly, I got a couple things from Time to Fly. Now, I told you before we went on the air, and if you've been listening to this show for a good while, you've noticed that on occasion, like a lot of times when I would drive from Virginia to Ohio and, vice versa, I would listen to a show or listen to a movie. Like pull up Disney Plus and like pop on a movie and listen to it. And it comes through the car audio and it sounds awesome. Like you're like surround sound, like literally. Like I got that idea from another podcast. I forget what show. I think it might have been an MCU show.
Yes, it
And they
was.
mentioned it. Like
Yeah.
one of the hosts mentioned that he listened to this. And I'm like, wow, that's an interesting idea. Let me try that.
Now, see, this is the point in a fully funded show with like an editor or a producer, where you'd be like, "What was that?" And he'd go, he or she would go, "Do do do do." It was this episode, and you were talking about this show because they could pull up the files.
Yeah.
We're not that savvy.
We're not that sophisticated. So yeah,
But I do remember you talking about it, and I think you are right that it was an MCU show.
Yes. If I'm not, I want to give credit where credit is due. I think it was the MCU Direct podcast.
That sounds right.
They, yes, I think I was listening to one of their episodes and one of the hosts said it. But anywho, so I listened to episode 3 again because I wanted to get a little refresher for the show. And that was a short show episode, like 30 minutes, and that's about my drive. So, so that's a that's another story, both that drive and 30 minutes. But anywho, a couple of things stood out to me the second time through, and listening to it, you kind of like have your ears perked up more,
Yeah.
because you're not looking at it, so your visual, I mean not your visual, your audio senses. Your auditory senses are up a little bit more, and things hit differently when you're just listening to it. First, I think the big thing about this episode, episode 3, is the whole New Rebellion or New Republic politics with the Senate. Hera's trying to get some backup, say, hey, we found this Imperial sect working within our ranks, and like we found out where Thrawn is. Like it would be nice to, get some help to, go there and, see what's up. And the Senate's like, oh, no, you're just trying to go, The one senator was kind of a dick, like, oh
Yeah,
yeah,
so I'm
you're just
gonna
trying to
call him.
use our resources to go find Ezra.
No, I don't. Yeah, let's bring that up and like smirk about it. Like, all right,
Yeah.
Senator. It's like, all right, Senator Dick Cheese. Let's cool it.
I think of that, I think of the whole, Captain America Winter Soldier. Like, he's out of line, but he was kind of right, but he was out of line. But the thing that struck me listening to it is as I was driving, one of the senators was like, I don't think it was Mon Mothma, it was somebody
She didn't
else.
say much.
Yeah. She was like, this senator was like, well, this is just like sex, like SECT sex, and they don't have any centralized leadership or whatever have you. It's just little sects of imperial loyalists that might be around.
I'd like to point out that.
And driving, I'm like, that's literally how the rebellion was in the movies, in
Yeah.
the original trilogy. That's
And
literally what that was.
I think I even said in the last episode we had
Yeah.
that I was
Yeah.
like, "Where do you think these people came from?"
Right.
You're like,
Little
"Oh,
sex. You did say that. Yeah. And it just.
there's no empire remnants coming around here. What the hell do you think you were to the
Yeah.
empire?
Right. Right. So
Old Republic remnants."
I got reminded of that when that senator said that. I'm like, dude, like, that's literally how the New Rebellion got started.
Right.
The New Republic, I'm sorry. Yeah.
I want to point out that there must be something really, really wrong with me because either that or I've matured to a point that I didn't even laugh or make a comment when you had to spell out SECTS.
Yeah, when I
I didn't
said it, I'm like, that
I
sounds a lot like,
mean I thought you were gonna go down a line with like Hera or something like that, but I
I mean,
understand.
that's why that's my name on our show. Kanan was right because,
Kanan
man,
was right.
I mean, before he got blind, he had eyes, let me tell you.
Yeah, And like I said in that post, it was, now I understand the true crime of making Kanan blind.
Yeah. You know. So
how dare you, Dave Filoni.
But yeah, that was one thing that stood out to me second time through for episode 3. The second was a comment that Hu Yang threw out there.
Mm-hmm.
So he was a big part of the first part of episode 3 is Sabine going through training with Hu Yang, then with Ahsoka.
Yeah.
She's doing all these drills. The second drill she did with Ahsoka was very reminiscent of the Luke Obi-Wan drill in the original trilogy in New Hope. So that was a nice little callback, you know, reminder of that. But, you know, Hu Yang's talking to Ahsoka, and he's like, basically, Sabine is like the worst of the worst, pretty much. And, like, she sucks.
I know.
I mean,
she's like, oh, sure, sugarcoat it, why don't you?
And to his credit, like, Hu Yang just tells her to her face. Like, he's not
a lion, but he's not wrong.
I mean, he's not one of those dudes. See, that's the type of droid that you want, though, right? One that's not going to, like, sugarcoat it.
Yeah.
He tells you what you need to hear, not what you want to hear, you know? But he's like, when he's talking to Ahsoka about this, and Hu Yang's like, you know, this is the way it worked with Jedi, you know? And Ahsoka's basically like, well, you know, we're not Jedi, you know, technically. That's why the Jedi fell, blah, blah, blah. And Hu Yang,
sensitive knights.
And Hu Yang threw out the comment like, well, I guess you, something to the effect of, well, now that I think about it, I guess you do come from a unorthodox line of Jedi. And I thought about that, and I'm like, he's right. So if you think about like NFL, like coaching trees, I thought of that.
Did you see the meme of it?
No, I didn't.
There was, see, now you're pointing this out. There was a meme that showed it. It went.
I did not. But in my head, I thought Dooku, then Qui-Gon, then Obi-Wan, Anakin, and then Ahsoka.
And then Ahsoka to Sabine. And that was the meme. The meme showed.
Oh, I did not see that meme.
No. Yeah, it showed Ahsoka with Sabine. It showed Anakin with Ahsoka. It showed Obi-Wan with Anakin. It showed Qui-Gon with Obi-Wan. And it showed Dooku with Qui-Gon, and then it showed Yoda with Dooku.
Yeah.
And Yoda's even kind of unorthodox in a way. I mean, he's like the one that sits at the top of that tree.
Well, I didn't have Yoda in my tree. I didn't think about that. But like, I was going to say that I guess like the most quote unquote traditional Jedi out of that would be Obi-Wan, but even he had an unorthodox life.
His unorthodoxy comes from Qui-Gon, though.
Yeah.
Like, I think, you know, if he would have had a different Jedi Master, he would not have been so loose, I think. Do you know what I mean? Like, because of Qui-Gon and how he was, that influenced Obi-Wan. And then having Anakin as a Padawan, it's like, I mean, what else are you going to do? You know, it just kind of is, all right, whatever. You know, I'll train you the best I can, but geez, dude.
Yeah.
Anakin, calm down. That's like, and that's another meme I've seen that says you can describe the whole prequel trilogy in one phrase. Anakin, calm down.
Yeah. But yeah, those were the two things that really stood out to me.
You know,
from episode 3,
there's something that we keep seeing, and I think we see it throughout Star Wars consistently, and they spend a lot of time showing Jedi in training. They do it with Luke, they did it with Rey, they did it with Anakin, they're doing it with Sabine, they did it with Grogu a lot. It's like, well, and even Ezra with Kanan, but that was different because that was a series and it was spread out, so it wasn't like so in your face. And I'm just frustrated by this because it's like, once again, we're seeing a Jedi be trained, and they're like, ugh, I can't do it. And then all of a sudden they're like, whoom, hey, I got it finally. And it's like, wow, we watched you train once, you know. And obviously they're not just training one time. We're seeing like an instance of it. But you know what I think we need? We need 80s training montages.
I was just going to say, like, what, you want it like a Rocky movie or something?
Boom, I need a hero. Need something like that. And just show them like, hi, with their lightsaber and blocking the blasters. And they, like, you just show like just, Sabine doing like this.
Just
like,
have Sabine like have a picture of Thrawn in her mirror and then like just
crumbles
it up.
Ahsoka's in the background with her arms crossed and they zoom in and she gives like a nod like,
Just give her the Mickey hat.
Yeah.
You know, over her, you know, whatever the hell you call those things. That's her hair or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know the exact term for it. Yeah, but put a Mickey skull cap over that.
Yeah.
And no. Have Yang have the Mickey skull cap because he thinks she's a bum anyway.
You're a bum, Rock.
Yes, have Hu Yang be Mickey.
Yeah.
In the corner.
You don't have what it takes, Sabine. Thanks, Hu Yang.
Oh, man.
Seriously, I'm tired of spending like 15 minutes of an episode week after week with training. Like, just give us one training montage in one episode. Give us like a cool song. Boom. Even do it like Muzak style, but make it like 80s themed. Like, lean into it. Just lean hard into it. Give us a training montage that's like they're traveling in light speed. You got lots of time. That light speed trip does not happen in like 5 minutes. That light speed trip takes a long time. You got plenty of time to train. Give us a training montage. Boom. Hey, we're at our spot. Good. You've been training for a week. You're awesome. You know what I mean? Like, come on. Give us some perspective.
All right, Dave Filoni. You've heard it first.
Yeah.
Training montages.
Let's do it.
So there you go.
Yeah.
And I'm glad you mentioned hyperspace because they in their episode, they saw the Purgles again, the space whales.
I liked that.
And I think that's important for where the plot is going to go after the next episode. I think that's very important.
The plot, quote unquote. Yeah. Calling back to that one meme you sent me.
Yeah.
The plot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The plot's thick. Oh, I snorted. Right. There.
One last thing that jumped out at me. So Hu Yang was, you know, all up in his circuits about, you know, Sabine
Wait a minute. Pause. Time out. Burp. Did you say all up in his circuits?
Yep.
I loved it.
Yeah.
That's great. That's great. Yeah. I caught that. I really like that.
Yeah. But like, you know, you remember, what was it, episode 2? When Sabine had to like go into the droid head and do whatever she had to do before it exploded.
Yeah.
And Hu Yang's like, oh, I don't know, it's gonna explode, and then he shuts it off.
Yeah.
He did the exact same thing trying to get the data readout of the hyperspace ring.
Yeah.
And Ahsoka's like, Hu Yang, like, let's go. He's like, give me more time, like, dude. Like, all right, you got a little rebel in you too. You were just being a little piss ass crybaby episode 2.
Pretty much.
But I just thought that was funny because, yes, Hu Yang did the exact same thing that Sabine did in episode 2.
Yeah. Now, having landed on, what was the planet?
Cetos, I think.
Thank you. Called. Yes. Yeah. Yes. I can picture the word now on Cetos. Yeah. Having landed there and, of course, having ship damage, convenient. And, we got to fix the ship. We'll go. And then Hu Yang goes, hey, stick together. And what the hell did they do? Yeah, they didn't stick together. Spoiler alert. They didn't stick together. All right, Huyang, we will do it together. And then in the heat of battle, she goes, go, I got this. I'm like, no, you don't, because guess who told you to stick together? That's right, Huyang. And who did you not listen to? That's right.
Oh, we're diving. So we're diving into that. We're diving into episode 4 there.
We are. Well, you had Huyang up on queued up on, so I just needed to.
Yeah.
That was my one of my biggest.
Yeah, they did. Yes, not listen.
Man, I hope he really like gives them the business when he sees them again. Hey, by the way, did you guys stay together?
Mm-hmm. No,
you didn't. Well.
Oh, also one thing that I thought was kind of a missed opportunity in episode 3, since it seems like we're going to dive into episode 4 in a second, was when, you know, they approach the hyperspace ring and then, you know, Morgan sends Shin and her forces out there, you know.
Forces.
Boom, boom, bang, bang, right?
Yeah.
You know, Sabine's like, you know, basically, you know, working the guns and. And then she's like, I got him. I got two.
Yes.
And I was thinking.
Don't get cocky, kid.
Yes. Like, couldn't they have done something like that?
I said it out loud watching it.
Like, great, kid. Don't get cocky. They didn't have to do that exact line. But they could have did something along those lines.
Oh, I know. I felt
and it was such
way.
A missed opportunity.
Yes. I felt
because it was like the exact same setup.
Yes, but then I also thought back to Family Guy with "That's great, kid. Don't get penisy."
Don't get penisy. Yeah,
I thought
that was a missed opportunity for some comedy.
Well, there was another missed opportunity, but I'll save that for later. It's my name for the sign-in today. And you know what it is. So when we're there, I'll bring that up.
All right.
This are we on episode 4 now?
Yeah, let's get into episode 4 now. The fall. So we're in. So just to set up, you know, they found the, you know, they tracked the hyperspace ring. All right, Morgan and Shin, they shoot them up. Bang, bang, bang. Their ship is damaged. Right, they jammed. They got their comms jammed. So Hera, they lost communication with Hera for the time being. So they landed on Cetos in the forest. Balin Skull at the end of episode 3 is like, go find them.
Yep.
And then he has this like evil
smoldering moment.
Yes. And then cut to black. And now we're in episode 4, The Fallen Jedi.
And, you know, I I'm just trying to think how to phrase this properly, because I told you I had some small issues. One of them being that they split up. Okay, that I mean whatever. That's my thing. It's like, what do they do in horror movies every time? Hey guys, we should split up. No, you shouldn't, because guess what? Half of you are about to die. You know, it's like, that bugged me, and then once again, we get this like, hey, we're on the clock. We're waiting for these coordinates to sync up. Do-do-do. Like, okay, we're... Can't we just like force grab that orb? It's like, all she had to do was like force pull it off of the top of the thing. And her and Balin could have like just battled back and forth with it. But then it's off of there. Like, she didn't have to actually put her hand on it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's like the hot stove effect. You know, ow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, you've clearly used the force other ways. Could you just like, hey, I need to run over and put my hand on this thing instead of trying to force pull it out of the, whatever the hell that is. Like, seriously, come on. The monolith or the whatever. Again.
So. Let's get to so how we get there, right? So we got, you know, they know where the ship is. Track the ship. All right, go bleep them up. All right, cool.
Yeah.
Right. So you got droids. They attack Huyang.
And Huyang
is trying to fix the ship.
Huyang's a beast.
Huyang can throw hands. Yes.
He was throwing some good hands, and
he was throwing hands.
He had
the
he
gang's
had,
got some MMA training, you know.
He's got two extra hands too.
Yeah, yeah, he does. Yeah. So Sasoka and Sabine hear the commotion. They come, you know.
I like how he pulled the power to make them think something's wrong.
Yeah.
While they're in the ship, smart.
Yes, yes, that was very smart.
Yeah.
So yeah, then you're like, oh, okay, we got to go find this thing, all right, on the ground. So they're like, oh, let's go. All right, Yang, and then, like you said, episode 3, hey, stay together. Works better that way.
And he said right. It there. He cool. Like, told them there, like, do one thing for me. Stay together. Yeah, it's almost like they went, okay, Hu Yang, and looked at each other like, we're not staying together.
Yeah, you know. And then, you know, they meet Shin and Marak in the forest as they're walking.
Going somewhere? That was great. That was a great line. I really liked it. That was... Like, she looks at them, I'm like, are we just going to stare at each other? And then she said, going somewhere. And I was like, oh, man, she threw a line at them. This is great. I appreciated that.
So, yeah, you know, I guess it's Shin versus Sabine and Ahsoka versus Marak. Which,
exactly.
I guess if we were trying to look as Marak being like this super badass former Inquisitor type guy, or if there were rumors like, oh, this Marak dude, I saw like so many rumors. Oh, it's Ezra. Oh, it's Starkiller. Oh, it's this. Oh, it's that.
Nope. You know, what's interesting is...
So much for Marak.
Yeah, basically, that makes me think that all those troops that Morgan Elspeth has, if they're just like that. Because if you look at them, they all have these like gas masks on with tubes.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder if they're just all like created by her or some kind of like witch thing going on. Because he just looked like he was gassed. Like, she like cut him open and he just like,
yeah.
Which was weird.
Well, what we do know, probably he's not somebody of significance if he's gone like that.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was our boner moment from from WandaVision right there.
Yeah.
Ralph Boner.
Yeah, boner. Right. Yeah. Yeah, that was the big thing. Oh, what if it's Ezra? Or, oh, what if it's, you know, such and such?
Now, nope. See, if it would have been... I didn't actually see that, and I wish I had,
I saw
because
that, yeah.
That would have made me think about Tron Legacy. If you've ever... Have you seen Tron Legacy?
I've never seen it.
Oh, I don't want to... You think you'll ever see it?
Probably not.
Okay. So, have you ever seen Tron?
No.
All right. We're not taking a huge segue on this. I'm going to make it brief. Tron, this is Jeff Bridges' character. He gets yoinked into this game, basically. And they battle it out with these, what do they call it? They're like, they're cycles. They're like bikes. It kind of does like the snake game. You know what I mean? You've seen the game probably.
Yeah.
Okay. And it's him and... God, I'm really rough on this. I'm gonna really butcher it. I'm sorry, folks. If you're Tron fans, you can just like totally light me up on this, but I'm trying to make a point. So Tron basically is Jeff Bridges' characters, like they're like best friends. And at the end of it, I think Bridges comes out of it and Tron stays in. And then in Tron Legacy, Bridges' character has a son, and then it's into the future, and his dad has gone missing. And you find out he's actually back in the game, back in that universe with, you know, he's got like a good version and a bad version. And the bad version has this like helmeted, badass fighter that like he's got working for him, okay? And his son's in the game, and he's trying to find his dad, and he thinks he's found his dad, and it's an evil version of him who's running the whole thing. And you see this dude in the helmet, and you're like, who the hell is that? He's a badass. And it turns out it's Tron. You're like, oh, he's been like mind controlled. When you said that, like that'd be Ezra in there, and it made me think, oh, like Tron and Tron Legacy. Like you would see, like they got the helmet on, you're like, oh no, that's a Sith, blah, blah, or an Inquisitor. And then like the helmet would come off. You'd be like, oh shit, it's Ezra. You know what I mean? Like that's the feel I got. Like that would be a really cool reveal.
Yeah.
But it would also ruin Ezra's character.
And it would, that would have kind of ruined the series for me a little bit. Like,
yes. 100%.
Yeah. Yeah. I wouldn't.
It wouldn't ruin it for me a little bit. It would ruin me a lot of it.
Yeah. I mean, it would have been a very unique twist, plot twist, but I don't know if I would.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now,
but that was the thing on the net.
Okay.
You know, so.
Now the episode title of The Fallen Jedi, you could probably think, who is the Fallen Jedi?
Oh yeah. And so, all right. So let's catch him up real quick. So like that happens, freaking Sabine and Shin, they're fighting, blah blah blah. She's using her blaster.
They come to a stalemate.
Yeah.
Smoke screen runaway. Wait.
Basically. Sabine kind of fake uses the force, and Shin's like, oh, you can't do that to me.
Yeah.
You know. And like, is like Shin really toying with her?
Yeah.
She's, you know, playing with her food. Just kind of get it over with.
She's a like, cat playing with her food.
Yeah, that's kind of like, all right, I get it, but like, all right, you got a job. I guess that's kind of like one of those plot things for me. Like, you have a lot, like, all right, Sabine is supposed to be horrible, as Hu Yang says, right? Yeah. You know, Shin, you got a job. Quit playing. Like, just, you know, but that wouldn't make for good television.
But then think about, like, Kylo Ren fighting Rey and Finn and losing to them. Like drawing stalemate to them, kind of. I mean, a lot more to it. We talked about that too. I think we've talked about that before with him getting hit with the crossbow shot.
So,
and
so you're really going to give some credence to the sequel trilogy here? Is that what I'm...
Yeah, because... Is that
what I'm getting from Hot Take Jake?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
Whoa, ladies and gentlemen.
Now...
It's Wednesday, September 6th, 10:32 p.m., ladies and gentlemen.
I didn't think Force Awakens was all that horrible. I think it had a
Force
lot
Awakens
of...
Force Awakens was... I would say it's on the good end.
Yeah.
Because I didn't see Force Awakens in theater. What happened was I think I said this several times on this podcast. I didn't see Force Awakens in theater, but Last Jedi just came out and they were playing Force Awakens on TV.
Yeah.
And I watched it.
Yep.
And then I'm like, I have to see what's next now. So like literally I bought a ticket right after. It was like, dude, it was like 9-10 o'clock at night too, so it was a late show. But like once I finished Force Awakens, I'm like, I have to see what happens next.
Yeah.
So I bought my ticket and I drove to the theater right then and there.
You know, I mean, Last Jedi, we can all agree, was a pretty bad movie. It had two, and we've talked about this too, two of my favorite Star Wars moments in the Kylo Ren killing Snoke. That was pretty sweet. With that battle scene, that was a pretty cool battle scene, and the light speed kamikaze, for lack of a better word, was stunning. You know, so good points. But I mean, I guess the point is, I was just talking about like how the whole thing with they built up this strength of Kylo Ren having to like force hold his body together after taking a crossbow blast that clearly destroyed everything else it shot, taking it straight to the chest, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But, I mean, she was very clearly toying with her food. Yeah. And that's annoying.
Yes, it's annoying. It's...
But,
yeah. But, so now, you know, so we got freaking, all right, now you can kind of go Fallen Jedi because I was.
Yeah, that's, I want to also point out.
Catch them up.
These lightsaber battles were pretty cool.
Yes.
I liked, I have always liked the Inquisitor double blade wheel. I've always liked that.
Yeah, it didn't really help. Morak that much, but yeah.
Nope, not at all, because Ahsoka was like, I want to look back. Did she have the high ground on this?
I did not notice.
Was she slightly elevated?
She might have slight elevation, yes.
She also stood taller in her pose.
Also, maybe you can educate me on why. But why did Ahsoka go to the single lightsaber with Morak and Baylan Skull?
So I thought
that
about
has to be significant for some reason.
So my gut is telling me when it might have something to do with when she did double saber against him the first time, right? Not Skull, but
against Morak.
Because I remember her pulling both of them out, and she fought him with double there. So maybe it was a tactical move of like, look, he's got that double blade in one hand. It's better for me to have one saber because he can only really swing at me with one at a time. He can't hit me with both. So there's no need to block both sides, I guess. I don't know. And I think maybe with Skull, it was a tactical move because he's physically strong, and maybe it gave her more leverage to have both hands on the saber and fight two-handed. You know what I mean?
Okay, that makes sense. Yes, that makes sense.
I mean, yeah, that made the most sense to me because I noticed that too. I was like, oh, she only pulled one. The Fallen Jedi thing, you know, you could look at it and say, well, who is the Fallen Jedi? But Jedi can also be plural because you don't say Jedis.
Right.
You say the Jedi. That's all Jedi. So Ahsoka's a Fallen Jedi because she left.
Figuratively and literally.
Right.
Dude.
Haha. But she left the Jedi. She was kicked out but chose not to come back. Okay, she's a Fallen Jedi. Sabine can be one too because she's not really doing well with her training. Okay. Baylan Skull, definitely a Fallen Jedi. And later on in at the end of the episode, you see another Fallen Jedi.
Oh, we sure do. Hold on before we get there.
Yes. Right?
So, right. So they got this, the map, right? The map that's, you know, given the coordinates, we can go to hyperspace. Boom. And we can find freaking Thrawn and, you know, whatever. And, you know, Ahsoka pulls up on Baylan Skull. Baylan Skull's like, oh, Anakin spoke highly of you. You know, oh yeah.
She didn't look like, excuse me. She's like, excuse me. Whose name did you just drop? You don't think I know who that is?
Yeah. So they fight, and you know, like you said, as opposed to force grabbing the map off the thing, whatever the hell that is, she grabs it, and apparently it's hot as hell.
Yeah.
And, you know, it, like, burns her hand. Baylan Skull gets the upper hand and, you know, basically forces Ahsoka off the edge of the cliff.
Yeah.
Now, as we all know in Star Wars lore, if you don't see him take the last breath,
yep,
they're not gone. And we're in episode 4 out of an 8 episode series. So, of course,
and the show is called Ahsoka.
Yeah. So so yeah, so you know, we're not you know, good to go. I mean, like in Moon Knight, you know, he literally died and came back. So, I mean, whatever. Maul got cut in half and he somehow survived that. So, we're
Sabine
not that
got stabbed through the chest and somehow came back.
Yeah. So, we're not
Emperor
worried.
Palpatine somehow returned.
You just keep taking your shots at the sequel series.
F them.
Leave them. So, yeah, we're not concerned about that.
Nope.
But, you know, Baylan Skoll turns around and, oh, here comes Sabine. She has the thing. I guess it cooled off by this point.
Right.
You know, so.
Oh, hey, that burned the hell out of her hand. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to pick it up.
Or she has like a Mandalorian oven mitt or something.
She's got Beskar gloves.
Yeah, Beskar gloves. Yeah, apparently.
You know how they got those gloves that are like woven with silver fibers or copper? Like the sleeves that have copper? Is this like woven with Beskar filament or something?
Apparently. So yeah, she's got her blaster to the thing. And, you know, Ahsoka's...
Okay, now that was dumb, too. She's holding in her hand with a blaster to it. She's going to shoot her hand off.
Yeah, okay. All right, let's just take this as it is, all right?
Okay. Don't move!
Yeah. And Ahsoka's like, freaking destroy it. Like, shoot it, you dumbass.
Yeah.
But if she shoots it, she's not going to be able to get to Ezra.
Wait,
so what she do...
Pause. Real quick, we're not going to get to Ezra.
Right.
Or Thrawn.
Or, yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
I had to correct that minor detail.
Yeah. So yeah, what does she do? She gives it the Baylan Skoll. Right. And Shin's like, all right, I got this. I'm going to finally kill her after I had, you know, 50,000 other opportunities. Baylan's like, no, I gave her my word.
Yep.
All right, we're going to find Ezra. All right, yada,
now,
yada.
I have a note here that says, I really like Baylan Skoll.
Well, he's kind of one of those villains. Like, we talked about him when we first got introduced to him. He's got whatever exact motivation it is, right? It's not necessary. It doesn't seem like necessarily, we were talking about it. Is it really evil? Or we were talking about his motivation, like he wants power. But like, what does that mean in a sense? But he has a code. I like people who have codes. Like,
yeah.
Yep. He has a code. Like, all right, I told you this. And there's been lots of characters in movies, TV shows who are like that. Mm-hmm. They have a code. I gave her my word. He said that. I gave her my word. And my word is my bond, basically. So, you know, I like that about him, too. He gave him.
I like how Morgan Elsbeth turned around and looked at Skoll and looked at Shin and then looked at Sabine and was like, the F, dude.
What the?
She like just like
we don't have enough beds for in this ship for this.
She like turned around and she was like smile, stern look. What?
Yeah.
I have a hot take.
So that's where we are. Well, you got what?
I got a hot take for you.
Hot take. All right, yes. Here we go.
I think. Let me see here. If we go by the comics and how things play out, as you've seen with like Vader has his things with Dr. Aphra and fights off all these like weird Sith or clones and things like that. Because the Emperor is always trying to find a better person, apparently.
Yes.
My hot take is that Anakin as Darth Vader had taken Balin's skull as an apprentice at one point, maybe.
Ooh.
And somehow he broke free and is a rare instance of a Jedi who has a excuse me, a Jedi who has an apprentice, a Padawan who has a Jedi master, and a Sith apprentice with a master, and fell out of both. So he's kind of seen both sides of the Force, and his kind of, that's why he's orange and not red. Maybe he like went full Sith and kind of pulled back from it, like, no, this isn't me. But his Kyber crystal couldn't go back to couldn't go to yellow, white, green, blue. Like, instead it's kept that like bleeding tinge to it, but didn't stay red because he's not truly evil.
Interesting.
I'm spitballing here.
Interesting. Well, it seems like he does have a relationship. He said Anakin spoke highly of you.
Yes.
Like, how, you know, were you boys with him, or like, you know?
That's why I'm thinking that. Hmm. But he called him Anakin, not Vader.
He did, yes.
But I think he called him Anakin to be a dig at Ahsoka.
Yeah, probably.
I don't think he called him Anakin to be like, yeah, me and Anakin were boys back in the day. He was more like, Anakin, like, I know Vader was Anakin. You know?
Speaking of that, right? I think another fallen Jedi call about Sabine is the choice that she made.
Of giving up the sphere?
Yes.
Yep, 100%.
She did the exact same thing that Anakin did, right? In order to save the one that they cared about the most,
mm-hmm.
they made
There's
a
that
choice.
Attachment.
That attachment, yep.
Yeah.
And I was like, ah, that title of this show, fantastic. Or this episode, I should
say. You know, it's funny because I saw her like reaching to drop it in his hand, and I kept telling myself, I'm like, she's going to like go to set it down, turn around, throw it out into the ocean, and like, ha, and run away. And she dropped it. And I was like, F.
Yeah.
But we knew it was going to happen. Let's be honest.
Come on, Sabine.
Now, of course, then Hera comes into the picture, which, great parenting move, bringing your son to the battle.
Hey, man, get him in early. You know, get him trained up.
I mean, do they have really, really bad, like, interstellar babysitting rates or something like that?
Apparently.
Not that he's a baby, but, you know.
Apparently, yeah.
Yeah, so they fly in and almost get, you know.
You're talking about your favorite, one of your favorite parts of Last Jedi. Like, when they were like, oh, they're about to make the jump to hyperspace. Oh, we should probably get the bleep out of the way.
Yeah.
And no, they did not do that.
Well, you know, it's what's funny too is they made a very distinct decision to show the X-Wings in a circle around Hera.
Yeah.
So it's like when that thing zipped through, it like clipped every one of those X-Wings and just zapped her power source, basically.
Yeah. But that got me. Like, that was like one of my hot take Jake moments. When they said, oh,
yeah,
it looks like they're about to make the jump to hyperspace. All right, y'all. Let's make a hard right, hard left, whatever. Let's
up, down, left, right. I don't
something.
Care. Up, like, down, left, right. A, B, A, B starts. Move.
I mean, it'd be one thing if they just went to hyperspace out of nowhere, but they recognized it. They're like, oh, they're about to make the jump to hyper, like right through us.
Yeah.
Okay. Get out of the way.
Yeah.
But hey.
So we roll to the end of the episode and they show the cliff. Now, what was weird was the perspective of it threw me off because they show vertical, like a bird's eye view. And they show the cliff, and then they show the water way down there. And I keep waiting to see like a body in the water. And then you see Ahsoka's like shoulder, and I'm like, why is it so close? Like, why is she so close to the camera, or to the shot?
Yeah.
And then they show her laying on that path again. And I'm like, oh dang, did she get pulled into that again? And I got really excited.
I love all these Rebels things. So if you didn't watch Rebels, ladies and gentlemen,
shame on you.
You're missing out.
Yeah,
really are. Because when I saw it the first time, I'm like, is that? And then I went on Google to look at the episode. Like, what was that? So it was an episode in the last season, The World Between Worlds, and they called it a void. They didn't give it a specific name, but it was right. The World Between Worlds, and it was like a void.
But it happened in the second season because she disappeared. And then
she disappeared in the second season, but that void, that path didn't happen. We didn't see that until the last season.
Right. She disappeared. And then they went to the void, and that's where she came back to the timeline, or to that space.
Well, that was why. So in season two, when that happened,
she's fighting Vader.
It was just Vader who came out, right?
Yeah.
She disappeared because Ezra pulled her out while he was in that space.
Because he saw her and he saved her.
Right.
Yeah.
Because she was on her way to getting murked. And Ezra's like, oh, did we pull her out?
Yeah.
So it's kind of like a... we've had
Holy shit. Oh, my God. Another hot take for you.
Uh-oh.
You ready for this? I don't think you're ready for this at all.
Okay.
Here we go.
Okay.
Here's what's happening.
All right.
I'm calling it right now. I'm very excited about this. Okay. I think I'm going to blow your mind.
Okay.
Oh, my God. Okay.
Oh, all right. You're really selling this. All right.
Okay.
Is it going to be like the whole, what's her name from Secret Invasion is going to be her mom, and it didn't happen?
No.
I was super excited about that, and then it didn't happen.
Yeah, no, it's not that. It's not that. Ahsoka's in the void.
Okay.
I thought she was going to turn around and see Ezra, and she turns around and sees Anakin. Right?
Right.
And I got really excited because I was... Now, I mean, I'm going to bring... Is this okay to bring this up now?
Yeah.
Okay. Here I am sitting there watching this part, and they were like zooming in on his face, and I'm like, dude, say hey Snips. Give me a hey Snips. He didn't say it.
Like, he actually... Did you have the closed captioning on?
No.
He actually whispered it. That was the first thing she heard.
Bullshit. Hey,
yeah.
Did he really?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm excited even more. That makes me so
see,
happy.
See, you didn't... Yeah. I always have the closed captioning on. I have the subtitles always on.
Oh, man.
That was the first thing she heard. Hey, Snips. As a whisper.
I didn't hear that.
You really can't hear it, but since it was on the subtitle, I saw it.
Okay.
But, yeah, go back and put the subtitles on.
I will.
He says
because
it, yes.
That made me, I was waiting for him to say
that
it.
That was why I thought you put it as your name, because... That's what he said.
No, I was just waiting for him to end the episode with like a hey Snips. And then
that was what she heard before she turned around.
Here's what's going to happen. I'm calling this. I am very confident. Like I just had a vision. I visually see it. So Ahsoka's in the void, and she's now seeing Anakin. Okay. She is going to find the doorway to step through back in time to the moment where Thrawn and Ezra are light sped out of there with the Purgles.
And pull Ezra
out. He's going to pull Ezra into the void. And she's going to come out of the void on, what's the planet called again?
Cetos.
On Cetos. And it's going to be Ahsoka and Ezra. Hera's now there. And now their mission is going to be to go find Sabine. What are your thoughts?
That is a whole... Whew. So... All right, so...
How poetic would that be for her to pull Ezra out of a moment where he could have died when he did the same for her? That's a Filoni thing. That's got to be a Filoni thing. He had to have been in this position to be like, let's go back to that live action and pull him out of there. God, I hope that happens. That would be incredible.
Well, So you're all right. So let me back up. So Ahsoka pulls Ezra out.
Yeah.
And they go through the door again, you said, to end back up on Cetos.
That's correct.
And then they have to go, then they go find Sabine.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm waiting for this episode now to like have a scene where you're on a destroyer and you see Thrawn like held in place and you see Ezra and he puts his hand out and it's about to happen and it like starts to happen and Ahsoka just pops in and just like grabs his arm and pulls him and there goes the ship and then Ezra's like, where am I? Like, oh, you're in the void again. Oh my god, that'd be so awesome.
See.
And I think Anakin's a force ghost here. I don't think she's really seeing him physically. He didn't have the Hitler blue.
Yeah, because he's because he's dead.
Yep.
And in the Rebels, you know, everybody's alive currently who is involved in that void door fiasco.
Yes.
I think that is... Wow, that's... That kind of did knock my socks off. I don't...
Yes!
That is very interesting.
Now, I think this is just...
I'm not saying it will happen or won't happen. That is just, yeah. I just didn't...
This goes back to your last take that blew my socks off. I was like, I don't care if this is right or not. This was a good hot take.
Yeah. Wow.
I would be ecstatic if it happens. And you know what? If it doesn't, I just hope whatever happens is...
Oh, we've been wrong plenty of times here with the...
We have. I mean, if we were right all the time, someone would be calling us like, hey, well, how are you getting your hand on this stuff? Or just being like, can you see the future or something? You know, we'd be big, but we're not right all the time. And that's okay. Yeah.
They also, if you didn't have the subtitles on, you could hear it, but they just made it clear in the subtitles that when it faded to black, it was Darth Vader's theme.
Yes.
I heard that. So they made that clear in the subtitle.
Yeah.
Which is not an accident. So I'm curious as to where they're going to go with that next episode.
Yeah. Now, at this point, Anakin's been, or Vader has been dead since the end of Return of the Jedi. And what did they say? That was five. This has been 5 years since, technically.
Something like that, yes.
Five cycles.
Yeah.
We call it cycles. Does his force ghosting have power because he's now learned from Yoda, Obi-Wan, Qui-Gon, that kind of stuff?
Well,
really maybe, a force ghost
now
council?
That I think about now that I think council? About now that I think about this, hold on. In okay. In this episode, he wore his black Jedi outfit, correct?
Yes.
Okay. The only reason I brought this up is because I saw an article, or maybe it was like one of those short Instagram reels that I like, but they made it a point to where when George Lucas added him into the last scene of Return of the Jedi.
Yes.
So the original Return of the Jedi, it was like the older Anakin Skywalker.
Was it David Prost or Prose?
I don't think it was him. I think it was somebody else. I think Prowse was just the dude that was in the suit. Because he was big, like 7 feet tall and like a bodybuilder or whatever. But I think the actor that they used for the Force Ghosts in the original Return of the Jedi was different. I don't think that was David Prowse.
I totally butchered his name. I'm sorry, Star Wars fans.
Dude was kind of like, I want to say kind of on the pudgy side, where Prowse was kind of like tall and like,
he was kind of on the big forehead side too.
Yeah. Wow. But but when George Lucas came out with the special editions and stuff, they replaced him with Hayden Christensen. And
right.
He had, when the Force Ghosts of Anakin, Obi-Wan, and Yoda appeared to him, they all had the white, like traditional on.
Yeah.
And Anakin always wore the dark black.
Always.
And Ahsoka, when he appeared, he had the black on again. So is this version of Anakin like what she wants to see? Or is it the true Anakin? And also, like, they played the Vader theme at the end, so are there going to be some shenanigans coming up?
Now, I did look it up. The Vader was physically played by David Prowse, voiced by James Earl Jones, obviously. But the face actor in that scene was a person named Sebastian Shaw, which is a funny Marvel X-Men reference, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah, I knew it was not Prowse. Yeah.
Yeah.
I did not know that, so I'm glad I looked it up. I have a thought about the whole Anakin thing with like the Force Ghost thing in general, I think.
Yeah.
I think what we see is through the eyes of the person seeing the Force Ghost, a la High Evolutionary Captain Marvel. How Carol Danvers saw Mar-Vell as the High Evolutionary. Do you remember that?
Yes.
The portrayal, you don't actually see the High Evolutionary, you see what it wants you to see.
Yeah.
So if she's seeing Anakin, she's seeing Anakin how she remembers him, not as Darth Vader, not right. as an older dead Darth Vader. She's seeing Anakin as Anakin as she last remembers seeing him. And that's the presence. That's what she sees. Which is why Luke sees Obi-Wan and Yoda and Vader, a.k.a. Anakin, at the end of Return of the Jedi the way he does, and why I don't like that they replaced it with Hayden Christensen's version. Because Luke would not know that look.
Correct.
So. I'm very curious to see what happens next.
Yeah.
Really excited.
Well, interesting. I think there's 8 episodes. I think this next one is going to be a banger.
Because I don't know if Ezra's going to get pulled out of time.
Well, he could. I don't know if you saw this, but they're going to be screening the next episode of Ahsoka in certain theaters, certain AMC theaters.
Get out of here.
Across the nation.
Really?
Yes. And don't get excited, because I already looked up if there were some nearby, and they said no theaters nearby our area.
How close is nearby?
Dude, I plugged in the Bedford zip code, and I plugged in the Strongsville zip code.
No, what I mean is like state lines.
Yeah.
Well, I'm taking Tuesday and Wednesday off.
They didn't even show me options.
Oh, dang.
They just said none nearby. They didn't even show me like, oh, this is 100 miles away, or this is 150 miles. No, there were no options. They just said no, sorry.
Shit, I'd miss softball for that. Dude, which I have an early game next week, so when I get home, I'll probably watch it when I get home.
Yeah, so don't even think about it, because I already was 2 steps ahead of you.
Well, thank you. I didn't even know that was the thing. That was a thing.
No, I just was randomly scrolling, and then I saw that. I mean, that's how I found the Marvel movie marathon. I was just randomly scrolling, right. And then I'm like, "Oh, all right, what's this?"
The thing that started this whole the seed that started the whole podcast.
Yeah. So yeah. I guess they're showing next week's episode in theaters in some areas.
That says,
and they wouldn't do that unless this is like going to be like
25 minutes.
You know how pissed I would be if I bought like a $20 ticket with like popcorns, concessions, and everything,
dude,
for 25 minutes.
20 minutes is how long the previews are before movies start.
But I think they're going to do, like, you know, some special things, you know, like maybe like some swag or something. I think I read they're going to like make it worthwhile.
Well, you know, I hope they play the previous episode. Like you sit and you watch the previous episode and roll right into the next one. That'd be cool.
I think, did I screenshot that picture? I might have had, no, I didn't. But yeah, that's happening next week. So
cool.
I feel like it's going to be something epic if they're putting it in theaters.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Here it is. Yeah.
It's God. I really, really hope I'm right about that.
Experience episode 5 on the big screen.
What is that date next Tuesday? Is there anything in particular special about it? The 12th? No. September 12th? I mean, September 11th is Monday, but that's being shown on a Tuesday, so that's probably nothing to do with it.
Yeah, it's like LA, New York, Philly, DC, Chicago.
DC?
Yeah. No.
You should make a trip back down to Williamsburg, huh? I bet you might go see it.
Williamsburg is that. I mean, DC is. It's like. It's not that close. It's like three and a half hours.
That's like Cincinnati from Cleveland.
Yeah.
I mean, we drove to Chicago for a movie marathon.
We did, yes. We did.
I'm sure if you called Mike and were like, "Hey, Mike. Tickets in DC," he'd probably meet you there. Unless he's not a Star Wars fan.
Oh, he's all over. Okay. It.
I feel like I feel like I remembered that.
So yeah, that's happening next week. So yeah, it's I feel like it's gonna be a banger next week.
I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah.
If you gave up on the show already, if you had a really, really good reason, then fine, but I feel like you're missing a couple good episodes right after that.
Yeah, I mean it's getting hot.
Yeah.
Well.
Too hot to handle. As what did you send me? As
I just sent
Ahsoka
the screenshot
found out
of the thing.
Is it too hot to handle?
But apparently Sabine can handle it. Well,
I don't like that graphic. I wish we had more to look at. Really, why are they cutting off Hera there with Balin? Cutting off the good part. Sorry, am I still talking?
Yeah, your mic's still on. Yeah.
Oops. Sorry, folks. Right. We'll cut that out. Yeah. Anywho.
Yeah.
Well, next week, let's hope we get the banger episode that we're expecting, and
I mean, I'm pretty confident. You just had Anakin show up,
yeah,
and they're putting next week's episode in theaters in like big cities,
yeah.
So I feel like you're not going to do that without having some substance,
yeah.
So.
I feel like they had Hayden Christensen there for Obi-Wan, and he was probably like walking away, and they're like, "Hey, do you wanna? You know, we got that costume made again for you. You want to wear it again?" He's probably like, "I'm in."
Yeah.
Do you even want to know what show it is? No, I'm in. Let's do it.
Yeah. Let's do it.
Actually, you know, another thing I wanted to mention before we go is how many times has his helmet been like lightsaber slashed on the face, and this is like revealed his like one eye in his mouth. Like it happened in Rebels, it happened in Obi-Wan.
It happens in the comics a few times too.
I mean, yeah. Does he just have like a room that's like you know, like when you see those? I think they do it on Family Guy, where like Peter Griffin goes in his closet and he's got like all the white shirts, all the green pants, and he just like picks it out. Is that like, is he just got those helmets lined up and he's like, shit, go in the closet. He's like, picks one up and he's like, yeah, that'll do.
Yeah.
You know, he just got these like a fleet of these helmets laying around. Why doesn't he just make it out of Beskar at that point?
That'd be a plot hole.
We don't know anything about plot holes when it comes to Star Wars, do we?
Yeah.
Recent Star Wars.
Yeah.
But so far, solid episode 4. Three was good. Four was pretty solid.
Yeah.
Really enjoyed the fighting stances Ahsoka and Balin were using. They were changing their like positions. And I think this is another thing I read where they discussed different Jedi fighting styles and how they, like for defensive stances, offensive stances, you know, things like that, or, you know, you see them get in a certain stance and you're like, oh, they're preparing for this, or it was pretty cool to see them like form a stance and then go into fight. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I really like that. So. All right.
Well,
I think that about wraps it up for us here. Please, if you haven't seen Rebels, go watch it. You're missing out.
I mean, at this point, you need to just kind of just like watch like a YouTube compilation because.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's going to take you a while.
They're sure out there, but yeah, 5 seasons. Oh. 5?
This is Rebel season 5.
Yeah, 4 seasons
that we're in. Yeah.
Yeah, go watch them. You were missing out. So, all right. Well, for Hawkeye Rye, this is Hot Take Jake. And
as always,
hold on to your butts.
Boom.